Chag Sameach. You know, my mother, whenever she used to put me to bed, she always used to say to me, and she never taught me Yiddish, but she would always say to me, Glenn, schluf gesund, stehf gesund. And all those years, I had no idea what she was saying. She was saying, sleep well and dream well. Well, oh, we don't have that. That's all right. Submitted for your consideration, a theological metaphor for the coming judgment, courtesy of the Everly Brothers. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. We've both been sound asleep. Wake up, little Susie, and weep. The movie's over. It's 4 o'clock, and we're in trouble deep. Wake up, little Susie. We gotta go home. That song was released 63 years ago this month. Of course, it's the story of a young guy and girl on a date at a drive-in theater. They fall asleep during the movie, which I guess was kind of a dud. They fall asleep during the movie, and when they wake up, it's 4 a.m., and they are in a world of trouble. Well, at this very hour, most of mankind is spiritually asleep, pleasantly distracted with trivialities, going on about their lives and dreadfully unaware that the hour is late. That we at any time may hear that earth-shattering shofar blast out of heaven, and that eternal judgment lies just ahead. Biblically, the holiday we are celebrating this evening and tomorrow is called Yom Teruah, the day of blowing trumpets. It serves as a warning, a precursor to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the most solemn of all, the day of God reckoning accounts with us. God's judgment has never come without due notice and repeated warnings about our need to repent. Well, some wisely heed those warnings. Others foolishly ignore the warnings. And for them, it's business as usual. Indifference to the prospect of divine judgment. And tragically, they're completely unprepared when that comes. According to Scripture, God's final judgment will be preceded by the worldwide resurrection of the dead. Specifically, the second of two resurrections that are to take place. Now, I think most of us here at Shema and our larger constituency, and by the way, welcome to those of you who are watching us, wherever you are, most of us believe here that these events are rapidly approaching. Would you agree? These things are coming very soon. We believe these things are rapidly approaching in theory, but are we living like we believe it? My first point is that God promised that he would raise the dead. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel decreed a coming day in which he will raise from the dead every human being who has ever lived on earth. Those who have embraced Yeshua, Jesus as their Messiah and Redeemer and King, will be resurrected to eternal joy and a great reunion with our believing loved ones and friends. Those who have refused Yeshua will also be resurrected, but they will face the judgment seat of God and be eternally condemned. And there is no third option. Neutrality or indifference towards God and Messiah is effectively opposition. Yeshua said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." God's judgment will be absolutely just. Would you agree? God's judgment will also be final. there is no court of appeals in the world to come. That resurrection was foretold by Israel's prophets going back nearly 3,000 years. About 700 years before Yeshua came to earth, God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, declared this: "Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits." Even earlier, the psalmist wrote, "For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth." And even earlier than that, perhaps even dating to the time before Abraham, Job declared, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." The prophet Daniel recorded these words around 540 BC. "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." My second point is that sadly, not everyone has believed God's promise. In first century Judea, religious authority largely resided with the Sadducees. You remember the Sadducees? Or in Hebrew, the Tzedukim from Tzedek, either identifying with Tzedek, the esteemed priest famous in the days of David and Solomon, or else they just fancied themselves to be Tzedek, righteous. In any case, in Hebrew, the Sadducees were called Tzedukim. In some ways, their faith resembled ours. For example, they believed that the Torah was the word of Adonai. They didn't think it was just a nice book. They did not recognize the validity of the claimed oral Torah. And that's something also that they had in common with us. But unlike our faith, they didn't consider the words of the prophet to be authoritative. They also didn't believe in the existence of angels. They were skeptical about even the possibility of miracles. And most unlike us, they didn't believe in the promise of the coming resurrection. And that's why they were sad, you see. Well, one day, a detachment of Sadducees came to Yeshua, attempting to embarrass him through a dishonest question about marital relations in the resurrection. It was dishonest because they denied the very premise of the question. He rebuked them for their disbelief and their lack of understanding of the scriptures and affirmed the reality of the resurrection. Yeshua concluded with these words, "But regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the Torah of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" And then Yeshua said, "You are greatly mistaken." Sadly, in our modern era, the vast majority of our Jewish people continue to be greatly mistaken, not just in the rejection of Messiah Yeshua, but even disbelieving in God's power and his promises. And yet, The promise of the resurrection of the dead is embedded even within the synagogue liturgy. Consider, for example, these words from the monthly prayer, Birchat HaLevana, the blessing for the moon. And we say this every month, and it's recited all around the world. You ordered the moon to renew itself over those you sustain from birth, who likewise will be regenerated in the future. Whether people choose to believe or not believe, the promise of the resurrection is woven into the very fabric of Judaism. In fact, let me remind us that the renowned rabbi Maimonides, who set forth 13 principles of faith, the very minimum that in his opinion qualified a person to be able to claim to be Jewish, right? 13 principles of faith. Well, it culminated with number 13, and here it is. I believe with perfect faith that there will be a resurrection of the dead at the time that will be pleasing before the Creator, blessed be His name. Which leads us to my third point out of 14. No, I'm kidding. My third point is that a heavenly shofar blast will announce the resurrection. Every year at this holiday of Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah, I ponder whether it will be the time of the blowing of the great shofar from heaven and the return of our great Messiah coming for His people. And I'm reminded of these words from Rabbi Paul. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Then we who are in the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. We have already heard this evening about the various reasons we blow the shofar, but of all of them, it is the anticipation of the shofar heralding the resurrection of the dead and Messiah's return that should move us most deeply. Because when the hour arrives for us to depart out of this world, we will be gathered to Messiah Himself, and the joy will be unimaginable. Nothing this world has to offer, and this world has a lot of really cool stuff to offer, but nothing in this world compares to what awaits us in Messiah's eternal kingdom. But we need to make sure we're ready for that moment and all that follows it. In these last of the last days, we cannot afford to be distracted by lesser things, which now brings us to point four. There are going to be two resurrections. Make sure you participate in the first one. Listen carefully to these words from the Revelation. John writes, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them," speaking of Yeshua's loyal followers, especially those who gave their lives rather than renounced their faith in Him. "And they came to life and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Messiah and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. You know, it just blows my mind how many times that 1,000 years is recorded, even within just one or two chapters of Revelation, and some people still don't believe it. They think it's a metaphor. There will be a very specific sequence to the resurrection. When Messiah returns and the great shofar sounds, those who were faithful followers of hers who had passed away will be the very first to rise. And then immediately following that, those who are His faithful ones who are still alive at that moment. Those events constitute what is considered the first resurrection. Then, as we just read, comes the millennial reign of King Messiah over all the earth, headquartered from Jerusalem, ushering in 1,000 years of true shalom and a restoration of the natural order. People will still die of old age, but they won't be dying in wars and they won't be dying in violence. But that 1,000 years will be characterized by goodness and righteousness and joy. At the culmination of that 1,000 years, we find that there will be a short-lived rebellion. Satan and his demonic horde, along with the Antichrist and false prophet, will all be defeated and thrown into the lake of fire. And then the general resurrection of the dead, or as we said, the rest. The vast majority of mankind who rejected Adonai and Messiah, and they will face eternal judgment. There are three things that we can state confidently about Messiah Yeshua's return to planet Earth. First, it's a certainty. On several occasions, he said that he was going to return. He never failed to keep a promise, to make good his word. Second, in contrast to the quiet, humble, unassuming way in which he came the first time, Yeshua's second coming will be thunderous, glorious, and terrifying. Not to us, but to the rest of the world. The third thing we can say with confidence is that most human beings are woefully unprepared for that moment and are going to be caught quite off guard. So be sure you participate in the first resurrection. If you haven't done so, transfer your loyalties to the Lord God of Israel and to his Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Give him the first and best of all that you are and all that you have. And by the way, stay alert. Finally, wake up, sleeper. Am I talking to anybody? Just checking. Wake up, sleeper. That's the symbolic purpose of the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's like an alarm clock. Now, look, I know that these days we have alarm clocks that are kind of sophisticated. They start at a low volume, and then they gradually increase, right, until you finally wake up. Okay, I get that. But alarm clocks aren't supposed to gently nudge you out of sleep. That's why they're called alarm clocks. They're supposed to jolt you out of sleep. That might have wakened somebody up. The shofar is your friend if you'll consider it your all-important wake-up call. God loves us enough to warn us. If we thumb our nose at that warning, whom do we have to blame but ourselves alone? If this was true of the former covenant, how much more important, how much more consequential is the decision we make one way or the other about his offer of the forgiveness of sins through the new covenant, made possible through the sinless life, the atoning death, and the victorious resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. Dear friends, God loves us enough to put tension in our lives at these appointed times. We are so prone to stray from the good way that he's marked out for us. We are prone to spiritually slumber. And this is his way of yanking us out of our comfortable complacency, to remind us of what's really important. And that is our relationship or the lack of it with him, and to do whatever unfinished business needs to be conducted. For those who are dedicated followers of Messiah Yeshua, this holiday is a very good opportunity for us to recalibrate our spiritual compasses. For those of you who do not yet believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, this is an opportunity to turn from the sin of disbelief. You know, when you have an important meeting the following morning and you're getting ready for bed, or if you're going to be catching an early morning flight, you set your alarm, don't you? And if you're anything like me, you're going to double check that you set the alarm for the right time. And if you're like me, you're going to triple check that you set it for a.m., not p.m. Because it's either an important meeting you can't afford to miss or a flight you cannot afford to miss. And if we take that kind of effort with something on this earth how much greater effort do we need to take for that alarm that needs to sound, and it's going to mark the world to come. So let's use this opportunity to recalibrate. And if you're not yet a believer in Messiah Yeshua, won't you make that decision and be ready for that coming day? Amen? Let's